afternoon. It's 4:30 and 86 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
Rowan County was spared major damage during storms this weekend.
Police in Lexington are investigating three weekend shootings.
Flooding in Fleming and Mason County caused excessive damage, but no injuries.
In sports, the Reds will play a makeup game tonight in Cleveland.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
And the complete weather forecast is coming your way after these news headlines.
Spokesman for the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet says four roads in Mason County sustained heavy damage during weekend flooding. According to Alan Blair, two of the roads remain open to road traffic.
Kentucky 1449 from Route 10 to the top of the hill toward the AA Highway, and Kentucky 3056 from Tuckahoe Road to Big Pond Pike. We have two other roads that are one lane right now, Kentucky 8 at Dover, and Kentucky 3170 in Lewisburg. Both of those are one lane due to damage alongside the road, and then we have two roads closed due to damage.
Blair says cabinet officials are still assessing how much it will cost to repair the damaged roads.
Rowan County was spared major damage by this weekend's storm that dropped several inches of rain on the area. Judge Executive Walter Blevin says County Disaster and Emergency Services Director Ronnie Day informed him that there were no serious injuries, although one man had to be rescued from the hood of his vehicle after he drove into some high water. Blevin adds that few residents also had to be evacuated from their homes.
Ronnie told me there's maybe four homes. There were more trailers like than regular homes they're up toward Buffalo, I think. That's right off up toward Haldeman, and I think in Big Perry, I think is what he told me.
Blevin says some trees were also knocked down by the storm, but he says the damage to Round County's public infrastructure was very minimal, and the repairs should not be costly.
The search continues today for a missing Bracken County man. 82-year-old Delmar Nickerson was reported missing Sunday morning after his mobile home was washed away by floodwaters. Buffalo Trace search and rescue crews surveyed as far as the Ohio River yesterday with no success. Courtney Woodruff knows Nickerson and his family. She spoke with WKRC.
It was awful. It was terrible. It was blowing me everywhere. I couldn't see. There was cars on the side of the road.
The rescue team is expected to give a press conference update sometime later today.
With eight bridges lost, damages from the flooding caused by Tropical Storm Cindy will total about $900,000 for Carter County. Director of Emergency Management Tommy Thompson told the Journal Times bridges on Tark Hill, Maddox Trail, Alice Chamber Drive, Parker Lane, Leslie Road, and Stan Branch all either washed out or suffered major damage. Judge Executive Mike Malone said the bridge work on Leslie Road will be delayed as there are other ways of entering and exiting. While no word was provided on when damaged bridges would be repaired or replaced, the road department continues to clean up and fix damage caused by the hours-long downpour.
Kentucky's tourism agency has suspended a tax break worth up to $18 million for a Noah's Ark biblical attraction after the park transferred its main property to a nonprofit affiliate. Media outlets report the Kentucky Tourism Arts and Heritage Cabinet said the park's action breached the incentive agreement, which would refund a portion of the sales tax collected at the site. The ARC Encounter transferred land to Crosswater Canyon in June. The tourism agency says ARC Encounter failed to inform the state of any change in ownership or get prior written consent. Mark Loy, a spokesman for the group that built the ARC, Answers in Genesis, says it doesn't believe the property's transfer credited a default and that the group will comply with concerns over the transfer. The 510-foot wooden ark opened in July 2016.
A pair of UK students made a court appearance over a failed attempt to steal a final exam. Will Clark has the story.
Henry Lynch and Troy Kapoth both entered not guilty pleas on charges that they tried to steal a final exam from the professor's office in a Mission Impossible-style heist. Lynch told police that he had climbed through the air ducts in the multidisciplinary science building to get to his professor's office on the third floor and then let Kapoth inside. The flaw in their plan, the statistics instructor they were trying to steal from was pulling an all-nighter and found them. The two are facing felony burglary charges and are due back in court July 24th. I'm Will Clark.
Police in Lexington are investigating three shootings that happened over the weekend. According to WLEX, authorities do not believe that the shootings are connected in any way. On Saturday evening, an unidentified victim was shot in the parking lot of the Fayette Mall. Police say two groups of people got into an argument when shots were fired. One person was hit by a bullet and is suffering from non-life-threatening injuries. 31-year-old Derek Fogle was found in the yard of a Cherokee Village home around 2:30 Sunday morning. Lexington County Coroner Margaret Fisher says Fogle was shot several times and died after being transported to UK Hospital. 40-year-old Tyrese Lionel also died at UK Hospital after being treated for life-threatening injuries on Sunday night. Lionel was shot near Dolmont Drive and Versailles Road. Witnesses told police two or three men left the scene of the shooting in a dark pickup truck around 9 p.m.
An Ashland man facing an attempted murder charge has agreed to a plea deal sentencing him to 1 year of probation, MSPR's Jacob Lindberg reports.
William Steen, 30-year-old son of local businessman and Ashland City Commissioner Marshall Steen, has been on trial for shooting his friend, Bryce Clark, for 3 years now. He was indicted by a grand jury for attempted murder, but he has now pleaded guilty to a lesser charge, misdemeanor wanton endangerment. According to the Ashland Daily Independent, the shift comes from new forensic analysis from two separate investigators who say Clark was shot one time in the arm, instead of two times in the back, bolstering the defense's argument that Steen acted in self-defense. He and Clark had engaged in a drunken fistfight before the shooting. Last Friday, Boyd Circuit Judge David Hagerman sentenced Steen to 365 days of probation. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
Kentucky's Senate Democrat caucus is asking former Governor Julian Carroll to resign his state Senate seat after a TV report alleged he groped a man in 2005. In a statement Sunday, the caucus asked the Frankfort lawmaker to resign immediately and remove him as minority whip. Spectrum News of Louisville reported Saturday the alleged incident happened at the man's home. Carroll, who denied the allegations, didn't immediately respond to a request for comment by the Associated Press. After the alleged incident, the man went to state police and played a taped conversation of the meeting, but no charges were filed. There's no evidence of groping on the tape, which shows the man refusing Carroll's sexual proposition and Carroll then backing down. Carroll was governor of Kentucky from 1974 to 1979.
Kentucky Congressman John Yarmuth is one of two dozen House Democrats filing a no-confidence resolution against President Donald Trump. The resolution cites Trump's apparent friendship with Russian President Vladimir Putin, his refusal to release his tax returns, and the termination of former FBI Director James Comey as reasons for the lawmaker's lack of confidence in the president's ability to lead the country. Yarmuth defended the resolution on Spectrum News's Pure Politics.
The Founding Fathers, when they conceived the impeachment process, in the Federalist Papers, they said this was for maladministration. This is to keep a president from doing further damage to the republic. So it's not necessarily for crimes committed. They anticipated that there would be a separate normal criminal process for that. And I think we're very, very close to a situation in which it would be legitimate to at least allege that he poses grave threats to the republic.
Yarmuth says the resolution sends an important message, although he doesn't expect it to pass the House. He and other lawmakers are expected to vote on a motion continuing the process of health care reform next week. Yarmuth remains opposed to Republican efforts to replace the Affordable Care Act, saying Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is more interested in preserving his majority hold on the upper chamber than offering an alternative health care plan.
Rand Paul thinks it would be a huge mistake to repeal Obamacare without replacing the health care legislation. Appearing on CNN's State of the Union, the Kentucky Republican says he's not in favor of giving money to the rich health care industry and is not in favor of a monstrosity of a health care bill. Paul says the problem is that the Republicans can't agree on what replacement is.
To me, replacement is legalizing inexpensive insurance, which means the federal government doesn't regulate it.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell wants to schedule a vote in the Senate as early as this week, but it remains unclear as to what the Senate would be voting on.
The Rowan County Public Library will be closed this Sunday as upgrades are made to the facility's online catalog system. Assistant Director Julie Carroll says the technology update will make the library's website safer and quicker to navigate.
Our integrated library system is with a company, TLC, and they need to move our online catalog system from the server, physical server we have here in the building, to the cloud, which will allow a lot more space and security and issues in regards to maintenance and things of that nature.
Carroll says the online catalog will be unavailable from 5 p.m. this Saturday until 9 a.m. on Monday, when the library reopens with its usual hours.
A former Maysville City Commissioner is heading out of the area, MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, Robert Boone is leaving for a position with the South Central Workforce Development Board in Bowling Green. Boone was confirmed last week as the preferred candidate for president and chief executive officer of the WDB and was introduced to board members and community leaders during an event there. Boone currently serves as director of the Center for Career Development and Experiential Learning at Maysville Community and Technical College. He declined to seek re-election to the Maysville City Commission last year. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency is assessing four pesticides for their risk to bees. The last day for public comment on the assessment is today. Numerous comments are being delivered to the EPA headquarters urging the agency to ban those pesticides. Attorney Jeanette Brimmer with Earth Justice says there isn't enough scrutiny from the EPA of these types of pesticides.
Basically, since neonicotinoids came on the market, even contract pollinators, in other words, commercial beekeepers are having a hard time supplying contracts, getting crops pollinated, the price is going up for those crops, so there's a ripple effect.
Big box stores like Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart are phasing out plants treated with the pesticides due to their effect on bees.
Taking a look at your extended weather forecast, it's going to be partly cloudy tonight with a low of 63 degrees. On Tuesday, sunny with a high of 84. Mostly sunny on Wednesday with a high of 89 degrees and a low of 68 overnight. And rain will return to our area on Thursday and Friday with highs around 89 degrees and lows in the mid-60s.
Turning now to our feature segment this afternoon, two Kentucky counties are working to clean up flood and wind damage after Saturday night's storms. Leanne brings us that story.
Lightning, wind, and several inches of rain ripped through Mason and Fleming counties late Saturday night. Maysville Mayor David Cartmell says anything near Limestone Creek was devastated.
It came out of its banks and it destroyed everything. It took an old Greyhound bus and moved it an eighth of a mile, just drove it down the creek by itself. And, its sight is very surreal. I mean, it's just devastated and under mud. Maysville itself, Maysville proper, flooded mostly with muck.
Cartmell guesses the damage assessment across the two counties could reach millions of dollars.
They say that Jeep Chevrolet is in Flemingsburg
they have maybe a $400,000 loss. I know this one car dealer here told me he was $80,000. I haven't talked to the two others. There's actually three car dealers involved here. But these were substantial businesses. We had a wholesale business who just moved up on the hill, and his building was ruined. So, I mean, there's a lot of devastation here.
Mayor Martin Voyers says the city of Flemingsburg was affected by both flooding and winds.
We had damage basically all the way through the main part of town, starting out about the golf course right above that at the bypass mobile homes and coming all the way through downtown. Any business along Water Street that's set on the south side, almost every business along that route suffered some damage, and any building that had a basement along that route has some flooding issues.
City-owned buildings, as well as businesses and homes within the city limits, were affected. Voyer said city crews started their assistance during the storm.
The sound of chainsaws could be heard all over town. Of course, city crews were out during the night. Fire department was out trying to assist people in whatever ways that they could during the height of the storm, and then pumping water from basements later on. City Public Works crews were out during the night removing trees that had blocked streets.
Outside the city limits, Fleming County faced mostly wind-related damages. Fleming County Judge Executive Larry Foxworthy said the storm was unexpected.
We didn't anticipate anything like this at all, you know, because it was calling for it earlier in the day, and it didn't happen, you know, so we didn't take any extra precautions or anything. We had no information that it would be that bad.
Foxworthy says the northern part of the county received 4 to 6 inches of rain.
It just caught the upper end of us. It wasn't wide, countywide, which we were very lucky, but most of the damage was done down in the city limits of Flemingsburg. A lot of things got lost down in the creek and stopped the channel up, you know, and then the backwater got...
Kentucky Department of Emergency Management was on site Monday morning to assess the damage. Governor Matt Bevin will have to declare a state of emergency in order for the Federal Emergency Management Agency to step in. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Leanne Akers. It's 447 and 86 degrees in Morehead. We are glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Sports is coming up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education collaboration and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moreheadstate.edu/innovation.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds play a 7-10 makeup game tonight in Cleveland against the Indians. They'll be coming off of a 6-3 Sunday win at home against Miami. Leadoff man Billy Hamilton helped the Reds offense by going 3-for-4 with a run scored and an RBI. It's not been lost on manager Brian Price that Hamilton has hit .353 in his team's 10 games since the All-Star break.
He's hitting the ball on the screws again. He's driving the ball. He's making hard contact, driving the ball over the infielder, splitting the gaps. I think really good quality at bats.
Tim Adelman takes his 5-7 record to the mound tonight for the Reds at Cleveland's Progressive Field. Winners of three straight, the Indians will counter with 6-9 Josh Tomlin. In Major League Baseball today, Los Angeles Dodgers ace Clayton Kershaw is expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks due to a back injury, according to Fox Sports. Kershaw left Sunday's game against the Braves after just 2 innings and was diagnosed with what the Dodgers refer to as tightness in his right side of his lower back. The Dodgers will officially determine how long Kershaw will be sidelined after the 3-time Cy Young Award winner visits the team's back specialist later this week. Just one afternoon game on the schedule today. At last check, the White Sox lead the Cubs 2-1 in the 6th inning. The Pioneer Football League released its preseason coaches poll today, and Morehead State was picked to finish 8th in the league after going 4-7 in 2016. San Diego has been picked to win the league for the 7th consecutive year. Dayton, Marist, Drake, Campbell, Jacksonville, and Butler were picked in spots 2-7. Stetson, Valparaiso, and Davidson round out the league predictions. MSU will battle 4 of the 7 teams picked to finish above them this year. The Eagles get the season started on August the 31st when they welcome Kentucky Christian University to Jane Stadium. They start PFL play on September 23rd when they host Dayton. The Kentucky football team is preparing to start preseason drills next week, and Coach Mark Stoops can't wait to get things going. Stoops says it's big that the Cats returned 17 starters on offense and defense from last year's 7-6 team that went to the Tex Slayer Bowl.
The maturity level of our team's getting better. They can handle more, so it'll be much the same this summer. Push them harder and be more consistent. I think that's the big thing with our program is consistency, our attention to detail. Our players are doing that, and we're ready to take it to the next level.
The UK football team opens the season on September the 2nd at Southern Mississippi. Things continue to hum along at the Round County football team's preseason practices. While he's happy with how hard his players have been working, Coach Kelly Ford says their mental approach to things is what has pleased him the most.
From the incoming freshmen coming in all the way up to the seniors, I mean, it looks like the team is coming together. Everybody's, you know, helping one another. I know kids, if they needed rides, I mean, they're offering rides to each other, man. So the attitude of the whole team and program, I mean, is moving forward.
The Vikings have one last week in T-shirts and helmets before starting full contact work next Monday. West Carter football coach Kevin Brown is excited to see what the 2017 season will bring for his Comets. Featuring veteran teams the last 2 years, West compiled 9-3 and 6-5 records. Brown says the Comets will be much younger this season, though. They have just 3 seniors on the roster.
We knew that was going to happen the last 2 years. We had graduated around 25 boys. Most of them had started at least 3 years. So, you know, we knew that there was going to be a transition time, but we were fortunate enough to get a lot of our young kids in games the last couple of years. And so hopefully, you know, that'll work and we can be competitive.
West Carter will open 2017 with a home game against Powell County on August the 25th. Dallas Cowboy owner Jerry Jones is backing star running back Ezekiel Elliott. Jones said Sunday that Elliott is not guilty of allegations of domestic violence leveled by his former girlfriend last summer in Columbus, Ohio. The NFL has been investigating the matter for over a year. Jones, though, would not speculate if Elliott could be suspended in connections with a possible involvement at a recent bar fight. In the NBA, according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, former Kentucky forward Darius Miller has signed a 2-year deal with the New Orleans Pelicans. Miller was with New Orleans for 3 seasons before heading to Germany to play. Miller will be one of 4 former Kentucky players on the Pelicans next season, joining Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, and Rajon Rondo. Free agent point guard Derrick Rose is meeting with the Cleveland Cavaliers in Ohio. Multiple reports say the two parties could agree today to a 1-year contract that will pay Rose a little over $2 million. And over the weekend, John Wall agreed to a 4-year contract extension with the Washington Wizards that will pay him $170 million. Finally in sports, Morehead State made its mark on the KHSAA's Hall of Fame over the weekend. MSPR's Chuck Mirage reports.
Current women's basketball coach Greg Todd and former men's basketball star Harold Sergeant were inducted into the Hall over the weekend in Elizabethtown. Before heading to Transylvania University and then on to MSU, Todd was a highly successful high school coach at both Berea and Lexington Catholic. Todd led Berea to 21 seasons every year he was there, and at Lexcath he posted 225 total victories and won 3 state championships. Surgeon helped lead Ashland High School's boys team to a 1961 state title. He started Morehead State from 1962 through 1965, scoring 1,469 points. He was an All-Ohio Valley Conference pick in each of those years. For Morehead State Public Radio Sports, I'm Chuck Moraz reporting.
And that's it for sports. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Tickets are now available for Morehead State fall sports, including football, soccer, and volleyball. Home games begin August 13th for soccer and August 25th for volleyball. Football begins their season by hosting Kentucky Christian at 6 p.m. on Thursday, August 31st. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed mostly lower as Wall Street geared up for a major week of earnings and Federal Reserve news. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 66.9, finishing at 21,513.17. The S&P 500 was down 2.63 at 2469.91. The NASDAQ Composite did finish with a gain of 23.05 to finish at 6410.81. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 4-3 in favor of losing stocks over winners. Approximately 180 S&P 500 components are scheduled to report this week, including tech giants Facebook and Amazon. Google parent Alphabet posted better-than-expected quarterly results after the bell. The stock was down over 1% in after-hours trading, as the huge fine from the EU was somewhat of a damper in terms of the reception for the earnings. Earnings season has gotten off to a good start in general. As of Friday, 73% of S&P 500 companies that had reported beat earnings estimates and 77% topped sales estimates, according to data from FactSet. Investors kept an eye on oil prices as officials from OPEC and non-OPEC countries met in Russia to discuss compliance of agreed production cuts and how to bring down inventory levels. And U.S. crude oil futures for September delivery rose 1.3% to settle at $46.34 a barrel. In economic news, the IHS Market Flash U.S. Composite PMI hit its highest level in 6 years. IHS said in a release the growth in business activity was driven by a steeper increase in manufacturing production in July. And also, existing home sales fell 1.8% to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 5.52 million units last month, which was more than expected. In Europe, markets were lower, with the Stoxx 600 index finishing with a loss of about 0.25%. In Asia, markets were mixed, with Shanghai up 0.4% and the Nikkei down 0.625%. Among Dow stocks, your best performers were Caterpillar and Apple. The worst performers were GE and Johnson & Johnson. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Xerox and Wynn Resorts, and the worst performers were Hasbro and Foot Locker. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 13 cents at 66.54, CSX down 86 cents at 50.82, AEP down 80 cents at 69.18, AK Steel down 18 cents at 6.02, Marathon Petroleum up 24 cents at 55.58, and Kroger was unchanged at 23.26. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Round County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, open 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays near the Moorhead City Park. The Round County Farmers Market features homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program, WIC, and senior checks accepted. For more information, call 784-5457. Supporting local farmers, the Round County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud.
Taking another look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region, tonight it'll be partly cloudy, a slight chance of rain, lows around 63 degrees. Tomorrow we're looking at sunny skies, highs up around 84. Tomorrow night, clear, lows in the lower 60s. On Wednesday it'll be mostly sunny with highs in the upper 80s. That night, mostly clear, lows around 68 degrees. And on Thursday, we'll see a 40% chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs around 88 degrees. It is currently sitting at 89 degrees in Ashland. It's 85 right now in Flemingsburg, 86 in Winchester, as well as in Lexington, 85 in Inez, and it's 85 too here in Moorhead.
You're listening to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio. Taking a look at what's coming up next here on MSPR. All things considered. Tensions remain high in Jerusalem, and some Christians who helped Trump win the presidency are facing deportation. That's coming up on All Things Considered from NPR News. It for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Paul Hitchcock, Arlo Barnett, Ellen Barnett, Braxton Howard, and Sean Delaney. From Kentucky News Network, Will Clark. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and transmitter W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.